everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend John Couch. John engineering and producing the show. And as usual, a very busy hour planned for you on this Tuesday, February the 4th, 2020. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030, Tucson's voice for trusted news talk, worldwide live listening, and all of our podcasts available at buckmastershow.com. Let's get right into it. Joining us from the nation's capital, Terry Bracey, our expert on Washington and governmental affairs. Terry's enjoyed a long and distinguished career, beginning as a key aide to Congressman Morris K. Udall. Terry went on to serve under four presidents of both parties. He's senior partner in the respected government affairs firm of Bracey, Tucker, Brown, and Valenzano, which represents a couple of very important local clients, City of Tucson and Pima Community College. Terry, how are you?
Bill, I'm just great. How are you doing today?
Doing real well. And before we get on to the fiasco in Iowa, I find this news that my friend Dan Scheer, the editor down at the Green Valley News, Dan was interviewing former Arizona Congressman Republican Jim Colby, who represented Southern Arizona for 22 years, and it came out during the interview that Congressman Colby 18 months ago decided bye-bye Republican Party.
Oh, that's a I heard about that, and that's a real surprise and kind of a signal, I think. I mean, Jim Colby has always been a man of principle, and he was a very, very effective congressman, but he was also a very partisan Republican, and I mean he was partisan in the best sense. He at least my experience, he believed in a core set of beliefs that he considered Republican Party beliefs: strong defense, balance the budget, reduce regulation but not unreasonably, and what Jim really was a moderate Republican. He did a heck of a job for us in Tucson.
And he is now designated, I guess, an independent party, not designated. It's important to note, too, he was very instrumental in the original free trade agreement with Mexico. So I think that will be one of the things he'll certainly be remembered for. But he's with us, thank goodness, and still going strong, and now he is an independent. Okay, on to Iowa. Terry Bracey, the fiasco that we are currently seeing, it's still unfolding. Is this the end of the caucus process, which most people didn't understand in any way? And will that be a good thing, Terry?
Well, first of all, we don't have the results from Iowa, unfortunately.
Yep.
I've made some calls to my friends out there who are inside, and the news is likely to be that it's a good night for Mayor Buttigieg and for Senator Sanders, and a pretty bad night for Joe Biden. And that's the expected news coming out at 5 o'clock. And, you know, Bill, we ought to talk about caucuses and their role. You know, despite the interest this year in the election, a fairly low percentage of Iowans actually turned out. Only 170,000 people participated last night. Now, that's the equivalent of 2016, but not nearly as much as when as a few years ago, a couple of times ago, when President Obama was getting his political legs. And remember, a caucus is different than a primary. If one votes in a primary, you cast your ballot and you leave. In caucuses, you're required to stay the whole evening.
Hmm.
One vote is taken, and if supporters of a candidate who didn't do well, they can join up with others who did well and get behind another candidate. Speeches go on all evening, and usually by 9 o'clock, the parents and babysitters are leaving.
Only the older crowd is left, right?
And the old guys like me hang around and they clean up.
So, Terry, who does
it? It's a very complicated process, which got its legs really in 1972 when President Jimmy Carter used it as a launching pad. And frankly, when I was running Mo Udall's campaign, and we kind of missed its importance.
Hmm. So who does this favor? I guess those deeply invested in the race, who does it favor?
Well, anytime you start limiting the electorate and getting down to the bare bones of who really will put in the energy and the effort, it's usually the people who are on the extremes of the parties. In the Democratic Party, it trends to the left, while the Republicans trend to the right. And these extremes usually win intra-party fights.
And, of course, translate that to the national scene. And you've got extremes on both sides, Terry. The activists are dominating the parties and producing the candidates right now.
Well, they are. And, these activists are what we call ideologues. And, frankly, that word is misused. So often, it's not a slur of any kind. It simply indicates that these are people who believe in a set ideology, say as Jim Colby once did, in the old Republican beliefs. When real ideologues get elected, they tend not to play well in Congress. Our whole system, as you know, and as we all know, it's dependent on compromise. And the ideologues tend not to compromise.
Okay, let's move on to the big vote. Well, it's the expected vote, right, in the Senate to acquit President Trump. Not much drama there, Terry Bracey.
Well, no, and obviously this is going to give the president a big boost, although there is a serious move afoot to censure him, which may douse some of the happiness. Still, he emerges as president and leader of his party. I think the bigger problem, Bill, is going to be for the senators in the swing states, maybe like Arizona, who backed him all the way and defended his actions.
Is there more coming out? I keep hearing there might be more, another shoe to drop. What's that all about?
Well, of course, Washington is a constant whispering state. So, but that's really the problem with President Trump. The president has left a trail of misdeeds, which will be hard to ignore over time. I've always thought, Bill, and I've reported on the show, that I believe his biggest problem is his failure to separate his business enterprises from his presidency. And if ever he were to be forced from office, I've always thought it would be because of this.
What do you think of the Bloomberg? He's all over the place spending. I mean, there's been some estimates he may spend five times what President Trump is going to spend. Do you take the Michael Bloomberg candidacy seriously, Terry?
Well, Bill, yes, I do. And, things change. We always operate under the assumptions that the last war is going to be fought the same way as the one before it and so on. And we're in a period of pretty radical change where media has become everything, and including social media. And it's really not hard to take seriously the fifth richest American, who was a very successful mayor of New York, a guy who pledges, as you said, to spend $1 billion of his own wealth to remove an incumbent who he frankly despises. And if Joe Biden falters along the way, as apparently he may have in Iowa, the field may be open to a moderate voice like Bloomberg's. And I think that's his best hope.
Finally, Terry, there's a lot of talk about socialism versus capitalism. We'll hear more about that in the general election. Claims that the Democratic Party is trending towards socialism. Do you think that is true?
Well, Bill, as I said earlier, I think terms get thrown around a lot for political effect. But maybe you do. I know of no Democrat in the House or Senate who advocates that the state take over the means of production, which is at the core of socialism. I mean, we're a capitalist society, that cools our excesses in our system through the occasional adoption of government regulations, smoking, driving too fast, you're doing all those things. And it's true, I think, that Democrats tend to favor more regulation of the marketplace than do Republicans, particularly in areas like health and the environment. And yet in the U.S., you know, it's not all that clear. Remember, it was Richard Nixon who started the Environmental Protection Agency.
That's right. He did start the EPA. All right, Terry, we're going to have to let you go. Thank you very much. We'll see how it all unfolds in Iowa. But from what I heard you say, it was a pretty good night for Buttigieg and Sanders, and Biden seems to be faltering. That's kind of the message.
That's what I hear.
All right. Terry, thank you very much. Have a great afternoon, sir. Thanks.
You too.
All right. Terry Bracey with us. Coming up next, Shelley Fishman going to give me a big thumbs up. The market's doing very well. But before we turn it over and hear the great Buckmaster Show partners, one of our sponsors, Mona's Danish Bakery, up there for breakfast. Actually, we did a lunch Sunday up there. Really, they've got a new cook up there on the grill at Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. She did a beautiful job. I had a hot chicken breast sandwich. Anne had a hot roast beef sandwich. Couldn't beat it. Beautifully done. Northeast Corner, Swan and Sunrise, owner and chief baker has that grill all fired up and ready to go at 6:30 each morning. Open right now for lunch. And if you're in the area, I strongly suggest going by, have lunch. Mona'sDanishBakery.com. Also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Shelley Fishman is next right after this. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Shelley Fishman is a financial consultant in private practice in Tucson, Arizona. The views expressed during this segment are his own and don't necessarily represent those of this station or of Bill Buckmaster Communications. Contact Shelley through buckmastershow.com or at shelleyfishman.com.
But I'm always anxious to hear Shelley Fishman's opinions on a wide variety of subjects. Shelley, good to see you. First of all, before we kind of pick up on what Terry was talking about with the Iowa fiasco. Mm-hmm. The markets are really recovering a lot from Friday when we were down 600 points or something.
Right. We appear to be kind of just coming back from mm-hmm. where we were. If you can overcome a loss like that, which we had last week, and understand that nothing fundamentally has changed, that's very calming.
Last thing I talked about in our interview with Terry was about capitalism versus socialism. That is an emerging theme that I think we're going to see more and more of it as we get into the general election.
Well, let's keep in mind that Terry is absolutely right. You can call names all you like, but you really do need to get into the weeds a little bit to understand that calling names is not the same thing as telling the truth. So first of all, you know, Bernie Sanders certainly calls himself a democratic socialist. What that really means is you take a look at what they have done in Europe through most of the industrialized world, and you see the kind of policies that both Sanders and Warren have been talking about as being something they simply take for granted. Now, are these socialist countries? They're not. They're free enterprise capitalist countries, but they take a very different view of what I call the social, well, I don't call it, I mean, Rousseau called it, Hobbes and Locke called mm-hmm. it, the social contract. So that the role that the government plays in ensuring that the general populace is taken care of by the government is a much stronger role. In other words, that contract is a lot more detailed and binding in Europe than it is here.
I think we're talking about what in the Washington Post today, their interview with Finland's prime minister, a young woman, Sanna Marin is her name, one of the youngest leaders of a nation in the world. She says the American dream is best achieved in Nordic countries.
Well, if you take a look at the perception of the populations in those countries, you will see that on the happiness scale, mm-hmm. they score higher than we do.
Yes, they do.
Even though their taxes are much higher than ours. And the difference, I think, when you talk to those people, and as you know, last year I spent a good deal of time up in the Nordic countries, they say, look, we understand that we have given over some of our freedoms to the government. We have given over some of our tax money to the government. In return, we know for damn sure what the government is going to do for us in terms of health care, retirement, civil rights, and those kinds of things. And so on balance, they have traded off a degree of certainty for a degree of, you know, personal liberty. And those trade-offs are more in keeping with what the rest of the industrialized world has done than in keeping with what we've done here.
Did you see the Richard Filoni piece in Business Insider? I think it was February 1st. Richard talks about how the 2010s ruined the American dream and what should be done to get back on track in the 2020s.
What a great segue, Bill. And in fact, that's exactly what we're beginning to see. And what this article does is say, look, we've been moving along a path that reverses the advances of the 50s and 60s since pretty much the Reagan administration, so for about 40 years. But we contented ourselves with good economic results and didn't really express dissatisfaction with the way the economy and the way capitalism was working or not working for us until the Great Recession in 2008, 2009. Then all of a sudden people realized, well, heck, this isn't as good as we thought it was. And oh, by the way, haven't had a raise in 40 years. And so what this study, which actually started last year, not this past year, not just this current year, but last year in Davos, Switzerland, the Business Insider really commissioned a series of papers and studies to get down into the causes of dissatisfaction with capitalism, what can be done. And again, it's not the Business Insider's intention or role to really proffer solutions, but to understand the underlying causes of what's going on with capitalism and why people are finding it less satisfying as a system and more angering as a system than they have in the past. And what the Business Insider has done is identified three major problem areas. One being high income inequality. And by the way, our listeners have heard you and me talk about this for a long time. But high income inequality, a decline of labor power, the power that labor has within corporations to help corporations make decisions.
Their say has been diminished considerably.
Tremendously.
Yep.
Yeah. And you know, anyone who was alive during the Reagan era, you know, knows about the union busting that went on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then short-term thinking, and that can contribute to a lot of problems, but most dramatically over the past 20 or so years has been the inability or unwillingness to deal with climate change as a fundamental changer in the way we live. And so that was what the Great Recession really, really brought to the forefront of people's thinking. Now, you know, that's thinking, but what we've discovered in the past, oh, 5 or 6 years, is that it's not people's thinking necessarily that's so important, it's their anger. It's their dissatisfaction. It's their understanding that, hey, this is not working for us. So getting into the weeds a little bit, what Business Insider has done is they've commissioned a series of research papers. And if you look at Business Insider and go to this article that you referred to, and I'll name the article again, it's Rethinking Capitalism, How the 2010s Ruined the American Dream and What Should Be Done in the 2020s to bring it back. And so these research papers are, you know, hyperlinks that are available in this article to each one of these about six areas, and I'll go through them real quick. Interestingly, they name Occupy Wall Street. As if you recall, Bill, that was something that, you know, got started and then kind of fizzled out, but it raised people's awareness of what the 99% is and what the 1% is and how that's not fair.
That was about 4 years ago.
Yeah. And then a second study was the economists who have been talking about what capitalism really is, and people like Thomas Piketty and you know, we talked about that several years ago, and a whole new book on what capital really is and what it does in open and free markets. Then the use of antitrust laws to reverse 40 years of deregulation. And then corporate sustainability and measurements. This is the kind of thing that you and I have talked about when it comes to stakeholder positions and how the various interests of stakeholders can be at odds with one another, and how now it is the responsibility recognized by top business leaders, the responsibility of business leaders to balance the needs of stakeholders.
And the final two?
And the final two are opportunity zones, the ability to say, look, we have become in our in the way we've done demographics and geographic disparity, we have torn the country apart. Just 30 miles outside of Boston, you wouldn't know that Massachusetts was an industrialized state. So finding ways of bringing the country back again, and a lot of that has to do with training and education. So all of these things are studied in these papers, and it gets to the question, Bill, of why you're hearing from all the candidates. And I had hoped we'd have a
winner,
a victor in the Iowa caucus, so
we can
discuss
guess,
about
but, yeah.
their economy, yeah. economic proposals. But it gets to not what the economic proposals are, but the underlying factors in why we need to do something. And that's what I find so fascinating here.
All right. Very good information from Shelley Fishman. You can find out more about Shelley. Go to my website. Shelley's one of our great contributors, and all of their bios listed at BuckmasterShow.com. CBS Network News. We'll take a 1-minute news break, hear from Buckmaster Show sponsors, then another one of our great contributors, Dr. Ray Woosley, with our Your Meds segment. And you know we're going to talk about, well, coronavirus versus the really bad flu season we're having in this country, the worst in a decade. Be right back. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include The Amazing 30-Year History, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass Tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year. And if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, and we are cramming a lot of content into 1 hour, as we usually do, in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. Green Things, one of our great sponsors over at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Not only all the plants you need on their 13-acre site, but my goodness, I think they're still unloading the truckload of material that came up from central Mexico with all that beautiful merchandise for Zocalo, much of it hand-carved, beautiful desks and chairs from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. Check out ZocaloVillage.com or GreenThingsAZ.com. It's time for our monthly Your Med segment. Really, this segment's about taking control of your health care. Dr. Ray Woosley is our Your Meds host. He's the former University of Arizona College of Medicine dean, founder and now president emeritus of Tucson-based Critical Path Institute. Dr. Woosley is the co-director of the Clinical Data Analytics and Decision Support Unit at the UA College of Medicine up in Phoenix. His latest venture, which is doing very well, it's something called Credible Meds, one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicine. Credible Meds website visited each day by over 2,000 people from 180 countries. Visit crediblemeds.org. Dr. Woosley, always a pleasure.
Good to be with you, Bill.
Doctor, everyone is freaking out about the coronavirus, whose scientific designation is 2019-nCoV. It has spread to at least 23 countries, infecting more than 17,000 people and killing approximately right now, I think it's up to the latest toll on that. My goodness, I think it's almost 400 deaths, so right. It's been going up. But, Dr. Woosley, let's put it into perspective. We are having, according to the CDC, the worst flu outbreak in this country in at least 10 years.
Right. So we've got other issues to think about, and they're related. And, you know, there's been a lot of conversation about coronavirus. We were talking earlier, an entire nation of 1.3 billion people quarantined. That's rarely, if it's happened before, I don't know.
I don't know. The most populous nation with a population 1.4 billion basically cut off.
Right. And several hundred people have died, and the markets have crashed, and billions of dollars have been lost in the business community out of fear over this. And the fear is reasonable. I'm not saying don't take this lightly, because what this is potentially another Spanish flu influenza, like in 1918, which killed millions of people.
Up to 50 million people.
Yeah. So we're not there, but there's always that potential. We had this with bird flu. We had it with SARS. We have to be aware of this. We have to catch these things early, because they could be that. But at the same time, there are things that we could do better that would help these kinds of coronavirus fears, but also address the elephant in the room, if you will, that 60,000 Americans died last year from flu, for gosh sakes, and we have a virus, we have a vaccine, we have medicines that you can take. that stop these in their tracks if you get it early enough.
But unfortunately, Dr. Woosley, as you well know, only half of Americans, less than half, decide to take a flu shot.
That's sad.
Because of whatever reason, they've heard that if you take the shot, you'll get the flu, or they know of somebody that took a shot and got the flu, and they don't want to get it.
There's a lot of misinformation out there, and a lot of it came from the debunked study out of London that talked about vaccination and side effects, and those have all been totally discredited. The person who started that is in jail, and they should be, but their impact carries on. A lot of people aren't getting vaccinated for important things, and flu is one of the most important.
And again, we're up to, I think it's 20,000, up to 20,000 deaths so far, 10 million medical visits since October 1st. Of last year for the flu, 21 million cases of the flu, 250,000 hospitalizations.
Yeah, this is a huge problem, and we can do something about that. And same time, I mean, the coronavirus thing is confined mainly to people who've visited China.
And people who really had maybe some serious underlying issues
exactly.
as well.
Right. Yeah. But the same things we should be doing would impact coronavirus and the flu and many other illnesses. We should, you know, be aware that in a crowd, if there's somebody coughing or sneezing or looks ill, stay away from them. Those folks should stay home,
yeah.
ideally.
Yeah.
But wash your hands frequently. That's the most important thing. You know, when you can't wash your hands, maybe the hand sanitizers, but I don't believe they're that effective. They do help some, but not as much as we would like. But I think just common sense.
And if you get a flu or if you get a high fever, suddenly Tamiflu, which is a new medicine, relatively new, if you take it within the first 48 hours, it can reduce the symptoms.
It can shorten the illness and stop it in its tracks if you get it early enough. You know, there's Tamiflu, which has been around for a little while, but there's also a new one, Xofluza, which is a single dose. Take one dose of
kidding?
That medicine.
I've not heard about that.
It's
one
very
dose.
New. Yeah, it's very new. Tamiflu you have to take for several days.
Right.
But both of those, you have to get the medicine early. That means you have to have a doctor that you can reach out to when you have the symptoms and tell them about those symptoms, and then they can prescribe those for you.
And an antibiotic usually doesn't work.
Oh, that's the biggest crime of all, is a lot of people expect to get an antibiotic when
they
have
visit
a fever.
The doctor, they want to come away with a prescription for an antibiotic.
Or even when they call in, they want to have a be able to call their doctor and get an antibiotic. And if it's a virus, that will do nothing except empty your wallet and expose you to side effects that you don't need.
I want to talk. I've carved out, I think we've got about 3 minutes, Dr. Woosley. This is a very important article that was in the New York Times. Chaos in pharmacy, putting patients at risk. In the past, pharmacists' only job was to fill your doctor's prescriptions. That's changed, and with it, there's problems.
There's big problems, and you talk to most pharmacists today, they're very disappointed. They're being asked to do things like provide vaccinations. Now, some of them want to do that, and it's an important role. But if you pile on also that they have to go to the drive-thru now. They can't just stand behind the counter. They've got to check on your insurance coverage, and that's the biggest intrusion.
Right.
They've got to find out what's your copayment. They've got to help you decide whether you can afford to pay for that very expensive medicine and take it home. They sometimes have to swipe your credit card or take your money. They're in most states, they're required by law to offer to counsel you, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no time left for that. There's very little time to fill those prescriptions. They've got to check for drug interactions, and all that work means that they're rushed, they're underpaid, they're overworked, and they make mistakes like they're human. So you've got to recognize that, understand that these errors will occur, and work with your pharmacist to make sure that the pills you get are what you expect them to be. And if the pills change, if you've been taking a blue pill for several months
and suddenly all of a sudden, you get a red one.
Yeah, all of a sudden it's red.
Yeah.
You can ask your pharmacist about that, but you can also go to the web and just Google Pill Finder, and you can find your pill and verify that it's got in it the kind of medicine that it's supposed to. So again, protect yourself. know what you're taking and make sure that your pharmacist has time to help you manage your medications.
Meanwhile, the complaints are piling up. Each state has a pharmacy board, and they're getting all sorts of complaints.
They are, and there's shortages of pharmacists in the country, and they're overworked, and they're very unhappy because they're not allowed to do the professional work that they're trained to do. I mean, they're not supposed to be checking insurance and verifying all this paperwork that our current healthcare system, and I use that word system with disgust.
And they're having to check for specials in the other parts of the store.
Right, exactly.
I mean, what aisle is this? This has nothing to do with pharmacy.
And there's a big effort to push them to help make sure you refill your prescription on time, just to keep the pills flying out the door.
Wow.
To send out a 30-day, a 90-day supply instead of a 30-day supply. All these administrative distractions jeopardize their efficiency and your health.
All right, Dr. Ray Woosley, CredibleMeds.org, very easy to use, correct?
I hope so. If it isn't, let us know and we'll make it that way.
All right, if you have any questions about your meds, CredibleMeds.org. Dr. Woosley, see you next month. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, the Buckmaster Show continues in the Green Thing, Zocalo Village Studios.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Mo has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Mo for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I look to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan, talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further. The folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Okay, I'll admit it. I love chocolate, and they're having a chocolate festival over on in Silver City on Saturday. It's called Chocolate Fantasia, and everything you could imagine, even a chocolate parade. That ought to be interesting. So if you're thinking about visiting Silver City, this would be a great weekend to do it. Just a 3-hour drive. Good starting place, southwestnewmexico.org. You'll find a listing of great places to stay and all sorts of recreation opportunities and places to sample chocolate this Saturday in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. Dr. Mark Sykes is with us. I think Dr. Sykes loves chocolate.
Oh, man.
I know he does. Dr. Sykes is CEO under, with a little bit of that beautiful scotch, maybe with some fine chocolate.
Oh, that's
a good
Well, that's another story.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, which is based now coming up on 45 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. We have a rather ambitious agenda today for Dr. Sykes, and I want to begin with something I read today in the New York Times about Venus, which has always been kind of a mystery. I'm interested in what's going on there because it seems like we know so little about it, but anyway, there's volcanoes on Venus that might still be active.
It looks like it.
Let's begin at the beginning. They've had volcanoes that have been very active in the past.
Yeah, there's certainly evidence from the radar satellites we've had around it, like Magellan, that there's been a lot of lava flow on the surface, and the minerals that come out of these mountains, like olivine. They weather pretty fast, turning into other substances like magnetite, hematite, and that can happen very quickly. So when you see fresh stuff out there that is difficult to explain unless it's only been out for a few years, then that suggests that there could be volcanism going on today on Venus.
If there is, what would that tell us?
Well, it tells us that Venus is an active place. It gives us more data points to understand, to constrain, models of what's going on in its interior. Venus has had Venus is covered with almost completely covered by a recent outpouring, I don't know how many hundreds of millions of years ago, of lava that kind of destroyed a lot of the history of the planet. From atmospheric studies, we know there was a time in the distant past when Venus was much more like Earth in that it actually had liquid water oceans on its surface.
Wow.
And then it went through some kind of a nasty transition, and then this kind of catastrophic volcanism that covered the almost, most of the surface of the planet with lava, and it is what it is today.
But at one time, its chemical makeup and certainly the size and density are very similar to ours.
Oh, yeah.
To Earth.
Yeah, yeah. It is our sister planet.
Huh.
Yeah.
So maybe it was climate change. Maybe that. I don't know.
Hopefully we won't go there.
No, we won't go there, hopefully. what do you know about NASA's Spitzer Space Telescope signing off this week after 16 years of startling discoveries? Do you have any personal experience with Spitzer?
Yep. I've used Spitzer a number of times, particularly in its early years. In fact, I helped to help the team that was designing it to understand what they could do with it back when it was called CERTIF, the Space Infrared Telescope Facility. And then after it was commissioned, it was called Spitzer.
Named for someone, I assume?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, okay. A famous infrared astronomer. And, mm-hmm. So it's been a great, its original mission was, it was supposed to go like 2.5 years, mm-hmm. And it had a cryogenic phase in which it's looking out at the universe using mirrors and things that are cooled down to, within a degree of absolute zero. So that way you can see these thermal signatures of heat from distant cold objects. And that gives us a lot of information about other stellar systems.
It's given us a lot of science, hasn't it?
Namely,
a never-before-seen ring around Saturn.
Yeah.
First,
direct detections of exoplanets. Allowed us to characterize some of those exoplanets, like around the TRAPPIST system, to determine that these are rocky bodies instead of gaseous bodies. It's been a very valuable system, contributing a lot to astronomy and planetary science for all these years. I personally think that we ought to be maintaining Hubble class, Spitzer class, the great observatories. We should keep on going with that class of telescope. And then if we want to do something big like James Webb Space Telescope, which is far bigger than any of those and far more expensive, let's raise the mountaintop on which we have telescopes to low Earth orbit and these great observatory class telescopes.
And we certainly got our money's worth out of this.
Oh, totally. Totally. Yes. Yes. No, it was great. NASA doesn't like it a whole lot when missions keep on going. The MIR on Mars, that 90-day mission that went on for 11 years, we gain so much from the good engineering that goes into these things that allows them to function far longer than their original design, purposes, because we can get they're explorers. They're exploring new worlds, new parts of the universe, parts of Mars, the moon, or distant exoplanetary systems that we hadn't seen before or even thought about when they were designed, and yet we've got something on the ground now and working, and the marginal operational costs are a fraction of what it cost to do it all over again for another. I mean, if we had to launch something new every 90 days to roll around on Mars for 90 days, that's an expensive proposition. But these little guys that we have sent up there. And did such a terrific job. That's a lot of bang for the buck.
Before we let Dr. Sykes go, we want to bring up something caught my eye. The oldest asteroid impact on Earth has been found in West Australia. The strike is believed to have occurred, get this, 2.2 billion years ago?
Yeah. It's real interesting. About a 4.5 mile object that slammed into the Earth back at that time, and it was at a time when the Earth would periodically be going through these massive glaciation where the whole planet's just covered with ice, and after this impact occurred, it stopped being covered by ice for a few hundred million years, and there's some question as to whether that may have been caused by the impact. So just like when 60 million years ago, when we had the impact in the Caribbean off the Yucatan Peninsula that killed the dinosaurs.
The dinosaurs. The cockroaches survived, though.
I think they will inherit the Earth.
Yes.
These extraterrestrial events really have played significant roles in the history of our planet.
And this would have been a big impact then,
oh,
right?
Oh, yeah.
I think you said 4 miles wide or something?
Yeah, and I think that that's, I think the one in the Yucatan was actually bigger.
Okay, but this was still a really big one.
Yeah, it was still a really big one, and so could have sparked a lot of, climate activity.
And of course, could it happen again? Unfortunately, I think I know the answer.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we went out looking for them, but that's another story.
Yeah. All right, Dr. Mark Sykes with the Planetary Science Institute, which I am a member of. I'm a proud member of them because I believe in the work they do. They're an economic driver, really, for this community, aren't they, Mark?
Absolutely. And I'd like to say that all of our membership funds that are raised through these membership fees go towards supporting our outreach programs, bringing what we do to the public, to schools, to public events, and things like that.
So my money is being well spent.
Absolutely.
Very good. And you can find out more at psi.edu. Dr. Sykes, hope the rest of the week goes well for you.
Thanks,
Mark. Okay, that's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. On behalf of Dr. Sykes and John Couch, engineering and producing the show, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Hope you have a great afternoon and evening. We've got the Dave Ramsey Show talking about your money coming up next.